with Aaron Cowan.
I throw balls far. You want good words? Data language.
Talk real sports with a real man.
Come after me! I'm a man! I'm 40!
And now, here's the be-all, end-all, know-it-all of high school, college, and pro sports. Aaron Skinny Cowan with The Skinny on Sports.
We're talking about practice, man. I'm the MVP!
Good Wednesday morning out there, Western Oklahoma. Welcome to The Skinny on Sports, right here on 98.1 FM, The Sports Animal. Glad to have you along for the next hour. We're going to talk a bunch of Super Bowl and actually the game. What happens when the Chiefs have the ball? So we'll go Chiefs offense versus Niners defense will be the topic of discussion as far as the game goes. Might even talk a little halftime show.
Okay.
What was your favorite? What's one that you think is probably, like, you enjoyed? It's not, you know, maybe at the top of most people's list of best all time, but one that you really enjoyed. Who would you like to see? And the first part of this can be somebody that's actually done this show before. And then who would you like to see that hasn't done the show before? What's happened to the Niners defense? Have the Chiefs really figured it out on offense? You know, the Chiefs have actually dominated San Francisco, winning 5 of the last 6. How much does that translate some regular season stuff into the Super Bowl Sunday? Does it? Does it not? And is this the most important matchup of the game? Chiefs O versus Niners D. Hit some basketball from last night. Thunder fall in Salt Lake City. Sooners win. Cowboys lose. Kelvin lost his mind. Up 20. I think that was some sort of psychological ploy to his team. Or was he really that mad? Does he still harbor ill feelings toward Oklahoma State because of Bedlam rivalry from years gone by? Then the high school hoops from last night we can discuss as well. 225-9698 is the phone or the text line. That is 225-9698. Give us a call, shoot us a text. We can talk about any of those things, whatever else might be on your mind. I'll tell you what ought to be on your mind. Tucker Family Beef 8 for State. We've got some entries rolling in here as tomorrow is the deadline. Tomorrow is the deadline. Tucker Family Beef 8 for State. Gives you Class A and B, girls and boys, state tournament teams. That's just the first part of the contest. We'll wait a few weeks to finish up the second part. But get those entries in. You can put it on the Facebook page where I've got the post. You can text us right here, 225-9698. If you've got our numbers, you can send it to me and Jared. Doesn't matter. Hey, however you want to do that. But you got to get those entries in on the Tucker Family Beef. 8-4 State. As I mentioned, 225-9698 is the phone or the text line. It is 225-9698. Call us. Shoot us a text. We can talk about any of those topics I laid out or something else. If you got something else on your mind, feel free to chime right in at 225-9698. If you're going to be outside the listening area, stay in touch with the show a couple of ways. Log on to KADSAM.com or download the app. The app's got it all. Radio, Penny News. Brand new edition of the Penny News happened last night at midnight as it burst on the scene. Brand new. Check it out, thepennynews.com. You can also pick up a free copy of the Penny News. A bunch of locations tonight. By tomorrow morning, the print edition is everywhere. Big Elk and Paragon TV, we've got playoff basketball starting tomorrow. Man, it's impossible to believe that that's true, but it is. A small school regular season ended last night. Elk City of Merritt, still a couple of games before they get the playoffs cranked up. Coming up next week. And then Skinny on Sports Podcast, you can find it any and everywhere podcasts are available. How are you, Jared?
I'm well. How are you doing?
I'm tired.
How's your trip?
It actually wasn't as bad. It wasn't too bad. You know, I went multiple ways on the way down there. Went through Cordell, south out of Carnegie, kind of around Lake Latonka like we talked about, on the east side of Lawton, and then to Duncan from there. On the way back, I went through Lawton and Altus. I don't know if it made a hill of beans. It probably... You know, going the way I went back at the time I went was probably a good choice just because it's, you know, late. And so there's no traffic going through Duncan, or through Lawton, I mean, and Altus. So maybe that's a good idea to go one way there and the other way back. But I didn't notice just a whole bunch of time difference, if we're being honest.
Really?
Yeah. It was going to be 12:30 or so till I got home, no matter which way I went. Because the games just drug on and on and on. 3.5 hours is a long time to be there. For basketball games that take 1.5 hours total. Actually, that's not true. 1 hour and 40 minutes. Because there is the 10-minute period between games.
It kind of blows my mind just from the small school, then you get up to the larger schools, that when you get up to that larger school area, the games go longer.
Yeah, not always.
It just seems like every time... Well, you said this before, and you check when we got that big group text, and we're sending scores in, and I get all the small school finals start coming in at the same time, and then yours come in like 30 minutes later sometimes.
Well, for just on the clock timing, the small schools is 6 minutes fewer. That's one thing, mm-hmm. is half times and in between the games are 8 minutes versus 10.
Is that an OSSA thing, or is that just...
Maybe a big school versus small school. Hmm. I don't have any idea. But I do know that that's the case. You know, and sometimes there are times, well, you know, right now, everybody's kind of having senior night.
Yeah.
But there's always the difference. But the difference is the small school senior nights seem like they're starting at 6, and the bigger schools are starting at 6:15. So then you can't get it done in 15 minutes, which then pushes back. You know what I'm saying? Mm-hmm. Like, I know that on Friday night, that was definitely the case, even though the games were pretty quick. I was still, you know, yeah, I was sitting there in pregame Friday night when you were at halftime of that girls' game. I'm not even kidding. It was like 6:55 when it tipped off, and you're already halftime.
Wow.
Yeah. That's how fast those games went at, where were you at? Your Canute and Burns Flat?
Burns
was that
Flat?
The game?
Yeah.
Yeah. That's how fast those, I mean, that night you were 20 minutes ahead of everybody else in the small schools that night.
I was cracking my first beer in your fourth quarter of the boys game.
Oh, I bet it was before that. I bet it was way before that.
Wow. That's crazy. I do appreciate when we went to Hammond last week, they had senior night at Hammond, and they did it after the boys game. All the parents.
Oh, that's nice.
And it was done. You know, everything was on time, and then they did all that after the boys game. Canute did theirs a full hour before the first tip.
Well, and here's another thing. Even if it starts at 6:15 in the small schools, all you're doing is basketball.
Yeah. Well, Canute did everybody.
What do you mean?
Were you talking about senior nights?
Yes.
No, they did everybody.
Everybody of what? Like baseball?
If you participate in a sport.
Oh, okay.
E-sport, everything.
Oh, see, that's what happens at Elk City in the winter sports. So yeah, you get wrestling, you get managers, you get...
Yeah.
Don't think they do. The cheerleaders happen during football, then basketball. I mean, there was it takes a little bit.
It's still a small school. I mean, the numbers are lower, but compared to the 4A. But yeah, but anyways, yeah, it always blows my mind that yours runs a little longer. Well, how'd it go?
The Elkettes got the, as far as rankings go, their biggest win of the year. They knock off 17-3, number 13 Duncan. 39-36. It was a back and forth battle. Trying to remember. Duncan led 3-0 early. They might have had a 4-point lead at the most. And then the Elkettes, actually, they led by, let's see, what was the score? I know the Elks were down 40-31. They were down 9 and then went on an 11-0 run. The Elkettes went on an 11-0 run as well at the end of the third quarter into the fourth. And that put them up. Duncan might have led by 6 at the most. Elk City, 7 or 8 was their largest lead at any game. I mean, so what I'm telling you is the game was played nip and tuck throughout the entire thing.
Yeah.
both teams were pretty defensive. Duncan ran zone. Elk City ran zone. Both teams long. So it was hard to kind of get the ball where you wanted to get it. Once everything slowed down in the half court. But it's, this term keeps on coming up to describe the team as gritty. And you don't, it's kind of weird because a lot of times a young team, you don't necessarily see that. But they are really gritty. And like I said, the best win, if you look at the rankings so far this year of the opponents that the Elkats have played. And I know that Coach Ham probably gets tired of saying this after, you know, when he comes up at halftime of the boys' games. But it's true with a young team. They've grown so much throughout the season. That's just it's another game that you probably don't win before the Christmas break.
Yep, yeah.
But as they've gotten better and things have improved and, you know, just experience gained, they're closing out some of these games that they probably wouldn't before the break. And then, you know, now as I was thinking about this driving home, you look at the, you know, the district matchup is pretty even as far as the records and all that kind of thing. But then, you know, you win that and you're like, dang, Bethany. And it gets me to thinking a few of those games before Christmas, if they could have like sped this process up instead of 9-12 or, you know, 8-11 or whatever it was when the brackets were drawn up. Yeah. Golly, if you flip two or three of those and then you're 12-9, 13-8 when all that's happening, maybe that's an opponent in the regional final instead of the first round of the regional if you're able to beat McGinnis and district. You know what I'm saying?
Just, oh, yeah.
You know, you chalk those losses up to learning moments for a young team, and that's what they were. But at the same time, if you could have just figured out a way to win a couple at Childress that you had leads in, you know, the Woodward game is one that stings after, you know, leading it going into the fourth, at the end of the third quarter, had an 8-point lead and kind of blew that down to three going into the fourth quarter, and then it was just back and forth. You know, that's three right there that you flip those into the win column. Now you've got 13 wins and 9 losses. You know, that's not what your record was before that when they drew it up, but at the same time, you've got a winning record, and maybe you kind of kicked that can down the road a little bit, you know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
With Bethany, but they played great. The boys, I don't get it. I don't under. There was just no energy. There was just nothing for 27 minutes. You know, Coach Stevens and Coach Keys have to be pulling their hair out for a team that's 6-15. And yeah, Duncan was 2-18. And I get it. They're kids. They can watch film or see records and go, oh yeah, but. That's, you know, teams that are talented, way more talented than the other one, can get away with just rolling the ball on the floor, not playing great, and figuring out a way to win. The Elks aren't that team. And, you know, when they actually kind of put it together defensively and quite frankly, energy-wise, in the last 5 minutes, they outscored Duncan 11-0, turned a 9-point lead into 9-point deficit into a 2-point lead, and then at the end just kind of gave it up. But you look at that game and you go, man, even if you play half of it with the energy and the purpose that you played the last 5 minutes, then that shot doesn't matter at the end. Mm-hmm. You've got them whipped.
Right.
And that was my key to the game going in, is don't play down to the record of what Duncan is, because that's, you're still 6-15. You're not 15-6.
Right.
You know? And that's what happened. Just kind of, you know, the Elks aren't good enough to let people hang around. You know, it's just not. It was so disappointing, especially, you know, coming off the Newcastle loss, which was a rough go. But then, you know, the couple games before that, they really played well at Clinton. They took Bethany right down to the wire. It blew out Chickasha in the second half. You know, they kind of had some things going, and then now these last two, kind of reverting back to what we saw during the Washington tournament when they could kind of look like they didn't necessarily want to be there. So not the greatest, obviously, loss last night to a Duncan team that had only beaten U.S. Grant and Hoops for Christ. You know, that's just a
–
and honestly, on their side, I don't know how – they've got some guys that can – pretty athletic, decent players. But the Elks just – man, they didn't have it from an energy standpoint.
Well, darn. Maybe that's a learning lesson for them. You can't – you got to play four quarters. You can't let up. So – maybe that's something that'll maybe they'll use that as an eye opener. Coach Stevens will use that as an eye opener. Go, guys, we can't, despite the opponent, you gotta. I remember my coach telling me this way back. My baseball coach saying, you know, we would get big leads and then we'd squander them. This is baseball, I know it's a different sport, but the point's the same. He would say, man, you gotta put your foot on their throat. You got to slam the door. You can't let up. And so maybe that's something Coach Steve can always go back to, you know, remember Duncan. Remember Duncan. You think you got it. You think you're the better opponent. You're the better team. Just remember that how that can come and get you. So we'll see. A good win for the girls. That's cool.
Yeah, well,
that's awesome.
Really, really, really good win. There's no doubt about that on the girls' side. It looked like Knute just pretty well dominated twice.
Yeah, career night, though, for Destiny Jackson. That was the highlight. She had a career-high 28 points, just a sophomore. So you got to feel like hopefully she can build off of that. And she did that in basically three quarters. Had 17 of her 28 in the first quarter. Elsewhere, Kendall Schuster had 16, 11 points from Emily Cantwell. Everybody played. Everybody got solid minutes. It was one of those workmanlike games for the Trojanettes, winning 64-23. The boys, same. They won 90-42. They were without Jake Butler, out six. So stepping in was Clay Randall, and he had 10 first quarter points in that start. He made the best of it, and he was my player of the game because of that, because he kind of set the tone of how the rest of the game went. He came out, again, had a couple three-pointers in the first quarter, 10 of his 13 in the first quarter, and everyone fed off of that. And something I noticed, the defense was really ramped up, and I don't think it was for the purpose of just slowing down a, I'm air quoting here, potent Corn Bible Academy team. They're down. They're now 4-17 after last night, but I think it was for, we got to be doing this in the playoffs. So after every missed shot or every made shot, they were right up in their grill, making it hard for CBA. They played really good defensively. Standout was Jackson Beck. He had a game-high 32 points. He's been hitting the three really well, going back to last week at Hammond. He had six against Hammond. I forgot how many he had against Burns Flat. Kept it going there. He had five three-pointers last night. Wasn't his career high. That was last year against Frederick, where he had like 36. But I kind of think he was going for it because he kept shooting threes in the fourth quarter until Coach pulled him. But that is that's something. He is so versatile with what he can do. Dribble drive, his floaters in the lane. Obviously can hit the three. Only got to the free throw line twice last night. So that's encouraging moving forward in the playoffs too. If he can keep shooting the ball like he has, like we know he's capable of doing it. And right now he's really feeling it. 21 points from Keaton Winery, 13 points, like I said, from Clay Randall. Very efficient night from the Canute boys. They improved to 19-6. Now they wait the winner between Arapahoe Butler and Burns Flat. They play on Friday night over in Canute in that district tournament. Of course, they'll play the winner of those teams on Saturday. 6 o'clock first game, followed by the boys. And then, so here we are. Playoffs are underway. But what a regular season. I mean, that's pretty good. The Canute girls, 21-win season, and the Canute boys, 19 wins. That's really solid, and now the second season starts. Really looking forward to it. It's going into the playoffs. I know the Hammond game for the girls, it was what it was, but it was nice to see them rebound like they have the last two against some teams that are down. But the bigger picture for me was Destiny Jackson getting back to what Destiny Jackson can do, coming off that ankle injury, had a very slow start against Hammond, but then really started off strong against Burns Flat, continued that last night, and we'll see if she can continue her role. So, Destiny stepping up for her team and Jackson stepping up for his team, two leaders right there, and just sophomores, which is very, very encouraging. And the playoffs are going to be a lot of fun. I'm anxious to start talking about playoffs and giving our eight for state, and I'm still kind of trying to figure that one out. Are you?
Yeah, I haven't even looked.
There's still some question marks for me.
There really wasn't that many good games last night. Seemed like it was blowout night the most part. Merritt just destroyed Hobart, 66-26. These are girls' scores to start with. Hammond and Visai. Hammond wins 65-28. Arnett got all over Eric, 88-30. Cheyenne Raiden beat Sweetwater, 68-47. Hollis did play a close one and get the win over Cordell, 46-42. Game of the night in Leedy. Arapahoe Butler traveled to Leedy. They held a two-point advantage with under 30 seconds to go. And here is what happened.
I guess it's at midcourt. Give it to Carpenter. 24 seconds to go. Carpenter. Give it to Puff. Puff. Double team. Finds Kerlock for three. It goes down for Kerlock. rolls around for his senior. Got to get back, though. Got to get back.
Avery Kerlock knocked down the game-winning three with about 11 seconds on the clock. And as you heard, Lake and Treasure both mentioned senior night for her. She hits the top of the key three. It kind of rolled around the right side of the rim, bounced up, hit the glass, and went in. So Kerlock hits the game winner for Leedy as they beat Arepo Butler 48-47. That's girls' side. Boys' side, you mentioned Canute 56-24. Win over Corn Bible Academy. Let's get down here to the finals. Here we go. Hobart beat Merritt 57-24. Leedy beat Arepo Butler 53-38. Arnett clipped Eric 41-40. Hammond got all over Visai 81-50. Cheyenne Raiden 76. Sweetwater 41. So those are the final scores on the final night of small school regular season hoops. You can watch them all on Paragon TV. In the college game, Oklahoma got a much, much needed win at home over BYU. The Cougars came in number 21 in the AP poll, but number 7 in the net rating, which that's going to be one of those things that is looked at for tournament time. You know, kind of getting a more analytical gauge of a team's strength instead of somebody's eyes voting for them. 82-66, the Sooners win. Not surprised with what happened yesterday. The news, obviously, of Toby Keith's passing. I thought that was really cool what they did in his normal seat right down on the baseline next to Joe C with his hat and his guitar and a red solo cup with OU the logo on it. Porter Mosier came into the post-game news conference with a red solo cup filled of water. He said he wished it was something else, but it was water. Milos Uzan was awesome. And he's a guy that's kind of been, you know, when you think about when it was portal time at the end of last season, there were two guys that you felt like Oklahoma had to keep hold of. He was one, Otega Owe was the other. They both kind of had moments in the season, but I don't know if they have developed quite into the players that everybody thought they might be, and that was a big reason why they're trying to hold on to those guys. Mm-hmm. But last night he was fantastic, and so Oklahoma improves 5-5 in the Big 12. And man, when you look at the strength of the league, you know, even after the struggles here, and I don't even know if you call them struggles, just the grind of the Big 12 is probably a better way to describe what's happened over the last two or three weeks with some home losses. And there's going to be losses in this conference. That's just the bottom line with the depth of it.
Look at Kansas.
Oh, yeah. In Lunardi, though, yesterday, or Monday, I guess, the 5th, he releases his bracketology. You know, there's conversation we can have them on these airwaves. They're definitely having them. Oh, man, if Oklahoma doesn't win this game or that game, they're going to be in danger of falling out of the tournament. He still had them as a 6th.
Yeah, are they?
Yeah, that's the crazy part. But it's hard to wrap your mind around. This is so much different than it's ever been. Because, yeah, I mean, you look at OU, they're 5-5. And with the wins they had in the non-conference, you feel like 7-11 is good enough to get them in the tournament, which seems crazy.
It seems nuts.
But that's how good the league is. When you're going to start looking at the strength of schedules at the end of the year, a whole bunch of them are going to be from the Big 12, you know, in the top 15 or 20. Everybody's going to be there because of how good the conference is. I guarantee you all 14 Big 12 teams will have top 25 strength of schedules by the time it's all said and done and the complete schedule is wrapped up. And so that's a part that you don't really get. But at 5-5, you know, Oklahoma State coming to town on Saturday for Bedlam Part 1. You'd think that would be 6-5, although Mosier has struggled against the Pokes, just as he has with Texas. Mm-hmm. But you get that win, then you're 6-5. You still got a home game with Cincinnati. You still got to go to Stillwater. And then, you know, some of those home games, you know, is Kansas unbeatable? I don't think so. I mean,
it'd be a road team. On paper, they're a bad road team.
Who isn't in the Big 12?
You're right, yeah.
You know, that's the thing about it. When you go on the road, and now Oklahoma's lost a couple of home games, there's no doubt about that, but still, it's just hard to win on the road. And so, you know, with Oklahoma already notching – three conference road wins this season? You know, so they're still...
Maybe should have...
Shoulda, coulda, woulda didn't do a damn thing.
But it helps us.
But 5-5 in this conference is plenty good enough to be above like one of those 10 or 11 seeds. So they have to finish it, it's obvious. But last night's win was big time as far as making sure, kind of locking in their spot in an NCAA tournament.
That was big, and BYU is a hot team. They started the season hot. Obviously, came in ranked, and they can shoot it. And that was nice that they went toe to toe with them up until what 3-4 minutes left to go in the game before they really pulled away. The score wasn't really indicative of how close it was for the majority of that game. That was a nice win. The Toby Keith thing was cool, and I'm hearing that they will be serving all drinks
announced.
On Saturday. Will be in red Solo cups, so sodas, beer, water, whatever. That's pretty cool, and I'm sure they'll have a proper way to honor him. That was pretty neat. But, yeah, good win for OU. Good win for OU. Now, OSU, on the other hand, what happened down in Houston?
Man, well, it was the worst time ever to go play them. After Kansas put the whooping they put on Houston on Saturday, mm-hmm. It kind of came out of nowhere. You knew good and well that Kelvin, did he put the bubble on the baskets and just make them rebound? You know what I mean? Like, those always those stories about that happened in here. So, not only a very tough opponent for the Pokes, but also at the exact wrong time that you'd want to go down to Hof-Heinz Pavilion. And it went exactly kind of how you thought it would go. Houston controlled Oklahoma State throughout, and they end up knocking off the Pokes. I mean, by far the headline of that game was Kelvin getting tossed, right?
Yeah. I didn't. So I just saw a clip of it on Twitter or X or whatever. And I had to watch it a few times to realize his bench was not where that shot was at.
No.
He came way across the court. What was his what was his issue?
The Oklahoma State offensive player, you can see him just kind of shoving the defender in the back, the guy that ends up scoring. And I don't know if there had been something going on throughout the night. You know, we didn't watch it. We were doing what we were doing.
Yeah.
But it's not the first time he just went sprinting onto the floor against Oklahoma State. You remember that year in Stillwater where I can't believe he didn't get a technical foul as the clock was expiring. When Victor Williams made that shot, 2004, 5, 6, 7, somewhere in there. He goes sprinting onto the floor. It ends up going to overtime because they don't give him a tech. Trying to say that the basket was no good and no you would win.
Yeah, I remember that.
I mean, how in the world did he not get a technical foul that night and literally blow the game for OU? The referee's discretion was the better part of valor there because he should have. That's what it looked like last night. Here's my question. I mean, Kelvin was here long enough, kind of know his tricks of the trade. Is that still residual effect trying to get his team motivated from what happened at Kansas on Saturday?
Maybe. I mean, at the time that happened, I mean, what always was
they're
just for that game. They're up 20. So what he's probably like, I got nothing to lose. We're going to win this game. I can get tossed and then we'll be fine. But maybe it was something he was setting up for the rest of the season. I don't know. Or maybe he's like a bull that sees red, but when he sees OSU orange, he just goes
maybe.
Gets mad and goes nuts. But
I wondered
if he even had that fire left in him, you know.
I was afraid he's gonna have a heart attack.
Yeah, but
he's getting too old for that.
It kinda took me back a little bit when I saw that clip. Like, man, I missed that guy. That
reminded me of Lethal Weapon 4. We're getting too old for this, S. Somebody grab Kelvin and make sure he's still got a pulse. Here's the question I would, you know, Phil Jackson was so good in different like playoff series of making his point at not necessarily during the game like Kelvin did, but making his point after the game about how he thought the officiating was. Mm-hmm. And then maybe that translated to something the next game that went in his favor. Mm. I wonder if because of the score, if Kelvin feels like, as the newcomer, Houston's maybe not getting the best whistle. I mean, OSU outshot him from the free throw line like 37-14 in that game last night. And still lost by 16. But I wonder if it's that. Like, okay, I'm going to make a scene. I'm going to go absolutely nuts and see if this can help us down the stretch. Not of this game. But down the stretch of the conference season, in these last eight, can we get a favorable whistle that might help us win the league?
Maybe. Or it could just be as simple as this was building up as the game went on and he popped. It just
either
didn't matter
possible.
If it was a elementary game or elementary school game or a game in the Big 12. It was just something he saw and his fuse just was done and he just popped.
It definitely did that. But I wonder if he had a little bit more ulterior motives for what happened. Thunder lose in Salt Lake City. It was a really good game. And man, Utah just made a bunch of threes down the stretch to win the game.
Felt like one was coming there.
Yeah.
Utah's tough.
Utah finally beat them. Oklahoma City beat them 5 in a row. We'll be back.
Tuesday, February 13th is the school investment election. The plan provides local students and the Canute community with a renovated gymnasium, including new flooring, new stands, new scoreboard, updated restrooms, accessibility improvements, and more. The plan also includes upgrades to the school's science lab to promote more hands-on learning and experiments. Polls will be open from 7 a.m. till 7 p.m. Please take time to vote on this important election, because your voice and your vote matter.
The Skinny on Sports.
Now we're back!
We are back. Skinny on Sports, 98.1 FM, the sports animal, hanging out here on a Super Bowl Wednesday. We tried to avoid just beating the game into the ground throughout the last week and a half, but here we are. It's Wednesday.
It's Wednesday.
It's time to start kind of giving what we think might happen, breakdown of the game on the field. Of course, we ask about your favorite halftime shows, who you want to see do the halftime show, and we can talk about that in the last segment. Let's start with Kansas City. When Kansas City has the football, man, I think if you would have told everybody preseason that the Super Bowl is going to be Chiefs-Niners, would your mind, because I know mine would have, my mind would have immediately gone to awesome.
Oh,
Mahomes
yeah.
against the Niners defense.
Well, yeah.
You know what I'm saying? Like, yeah. This is going to be great. The great offense of Mahomes against that great defense of San Francisco. And man, you know, Kansas City, obviously, the offense was nothing like it has been in the regular season in the past. Right in the middle of the pack in the league at 15th at 21 points a game. Almost 22. Just a little under 22 points a game. Passing yards were still sixth, but there was just something missing. Whether or not it was Mahomes getting frustrated with the drops, the receivers not doing what they're supposed to do, lack of a run game at only 104, 105 yards a game, and that's 19th in the league. There was just something missing. All season, it felt like, offensively for Kansas City. My question is, do you think that there has been some magic switch that has been flipped in the playoffs to where this is more of the Kansas City offense that we're accustomed to viewing?
Yeah, a little bit. I mean, there's been less drop passes without looking at the numbers. It's been more consistent in that department. And I think really, and I go back to the AFC Champ game where their defense set up their offense to set the tone for that game early when they got Baltimore to go 3-and-out and then Kansas City went and drove down the field. Albeit it was a very low-scoring game, but that sequence right there, and here I go again talking about setting tones, that set the tone for Kansas City. So the offense, they almost did just enough in that one drive to win that game in a weird way, and their defense did the rest. But to answer your question, I think it's better than what it has been in the regular season because they're not dropping the passes. They're not faltering opportunities. So maybe they have turned it around. Maybe they have flipped the switch. Or maybe they just, like, in the regular season, it's let's just get to the playoffs, and then we can really turn it on. Because they're so accustomed to it. They're so used to it, especially Mahomes. I don't think Mahomes has necessarily, outside of his numbers, played bad in the regular season. Do you?
No. He's fine. He just wasn't what he's been. You know, he threw more picks, less touchdowns, took more attempts to get the yardage. I think it's a fascinating question because have they looked better? Yeah, I guess. A little over 23 points a game in the playoffs versus 22 in the regular season. So there has been an improvement. But, I mean, think about that Baltimore game. What was it, 17-7 at halftime?
Yeah.
In years past, it doesn't take Zay Flowers fumbling the ball at the half-yard line to win that game. Right. That offense would have continued to control the clock, continued to control the way that game was played, and put points up. They didn't score a point in the second half, and that I talked about it yesterday. Second half scoring for Kansas City has been abysmal. Just barely over a touchdown a game, a touchdown each second half per game. In the playoffs, 24 in three second halves, so that's kind of on the same average, a little bit better at 8 points. But I think it's amazing battle between what you thought all year and what you're thinking recently about both of these teams. Because I think most everybody has thought that the Niners are the best team all year long. If they're healthy, the Niners are winning, and it doesn't feel like that's the sentiment right now. But why? What has Kansas City done? I mean, they've beaten the teams they've beaten. Don't get me wrong. Dolphins, Bills, and then the Ravens. They've beaten better teams than San Francisco has to get here. I don't think there's any doubt about that. And so maybe this is Kansas City. Mahomes is going to do what he has to do, not turn the football over, let the defense work, and this is just a different version of the Chiefs that we're not really accustomed to in this Andy Reid, Patrick Mahomes run. But it's still winning. You know, it's still effective. I don't think that Kansas City's offensive issues from the regular season have been magically swept away. I don't think that they've figured everything out. They've run it a little bit more, which has been nice. Their offensive line injuries and a little bit of a struggle, but they've done it. You know, to me, this isn't the most important part of this game. It isn't the best matchup on the field coming up on Sunday. We thought it should be, but I don't think it is. I think it's the other side. I think it's the Kansas City defense against the San Francisco offense is going to be more important to the outcome of this than this side.
Yeah, that one has me a little bit more excited than the other side, because the Kansas City defense has shown that they're pretty good. And then we know about the San Francisco offense with everything that they have, and with obviously Brock Purdy and Samuel and McCaffrey, Kittle, that one, if Kansas City's defense has trouble slowing them down, then we could have a really high scoring game.
Could we? Are we sure Kansas City can keep up? That's not a question we've ever had to ask. Are we sure Kansas City's offense is good enough to keep up?
I will keep falling back to I'm not betting against Mahomes until he proves me otherwise. So it's because when they need him to step up, when they need an answer, he always mm-hmm. more often than not answers. He always provides. So whatever we think about that Kansas City offense, whatever. But if they're down a score and they need a score to give their defense a chance to make a stop, all of a sudden, they're putting together a drive because of Mahomes. So that's where I can see if Kansas City's defense, again, has trouble slowing down San Francisco and it turns into a score for score for score, then I'm not going to bet against Mahomes to have an answer for it. That's where it could be a high-scoring game.
Isn't that
high-scoring by standards of NFL, let's say something like, and this is not my prediction. Please don't. I'm not putting this in cement, but something like 34-24, 34-27.
35-28 Niners would be awesome for me. I can tell you that right now.
Any reason why? Or?
Yes, because I'm in one of those square deals. Yeah.
35. Same one my wife is into.
I think so. TTS girls or whatever.
Yeah, that's it. Yeah.
TTS office.
She has that on the fridge. And
yes.
I'm like, Boy, I wish somebody would have asked me to be a part of this. Yes. I mean, you're the one with the gambling problem, apparently, in this family, Allie, not me. You're the one doing all this.
Well, that's no.
She's more interested in the – because I guess that's a good thing. Now she's really, really interested in the Super Bowl. Yeah.
Make sure I have that right. I don't want to be rooting for the wrong thing. Yeah. Yeah, 35-28. I mean, I'll take 15-18, Dakota. That's fine. Chiefs win 18-15. Or 8-5. 8-5 would be the best, actually.
For you?
Yes. Be 8-5 at the end of the first quarter and nobody score the rest of the game.
8-5.
I can't even tell you how much money I would win.
How many heads would explode if that final or score at the end of the first quarter is 8-5?
And never changes.
How did that would happen?
Well, here's how it happened, Jared. You'd have a touchdown and a two-point conversion.
Okay.
A field goal and a safety.
A field goal and a safety.
That would be
or a
sweet.
Touchdown and missed extra point and a safety. There's your eight.
Yeah, either way doesn't matter. Still, the score changes twice either way.
Unreal.
So that'd mean the score would change four times. I can do the math right quick. That would be a – you would have a happy skin man in here on Monday if that happened. Chances are obviously terrible for that to happen, but that would be sweet.
Thanks, Dakota. Didn't see that news.
What, Rex Ryan – interviewing to be the Dallas Cowboys defense coordinator? What's wrong with that?
I don't know. How long has he been out of the game?
Were you hoping for Bill Belichick?
No, I don't know what else.
I was figuring it was going to be Belichick and Saban double teaming the job of defensive coordinator for the Cowboys. Belichick getting the band and Saban. Getting the band back together. I'm teasing. Do you think the regular season success that the Chiefs have had over the Niners? I think they won 5 out of 6, and that offense has been pretty good. Does that translate anything here? Do they just kind of – is one of those they just kind of have their number? Or
are we already seeing it?
What happened to the Niners defense? What has happened?
I don't know. But my question was, are we already seeing that edge with the Niners? And we talked about it yesterday
whining.
With their whining. Complaining about practice conditions and everything in between. Do they already kind of have that? Is Kansas City living in their heads rent-free right now?
Maybe. Still griping about calls from the last time they played in the Super Bowl?
Yeah.
You know, I think every team – this may not be true. I heard this sort of stat. Something about if you play both one seeds – those teams have won the Super Bowl like 4 or 5 times. I think almost every time. Like Kansas City beat the one seed to get there, and now they're playing the one seed in the NFC. Teams that have done that have won. Hmm. You know, Andy Reid has this amazing record off byes in the regular season. But it's when his team has a bye and the other doesn't. He's like 28-3. When his team has a bye, the other doesn't. But he's like 2-2 when everybody's got a bye, which this is essentially what this is. Everybody has a bye with both teams. But what?
No, I don't know what's
what
going
has happened to the Niners defense. You know, you look at, okay, 7, 23, 12, 16, 10, 17, 17, 17, 3, 14, 13, 19, 16. Point totals given up. Mm-hmm. You know, that goes clear back into, for sure, October. And then you got 31-21 here in the playoffs.
Maybe that's just it. These are playoff-worthy teams that are
maybe
that are better prepared.
Yeah, and the
I don't know.
You know that's a decent point because outside of the Cowboys, who they beat 42-10. Oh, that was backwards. Hang on a minute. Still fairly similar. I went from the first of the season to the last, sorry. But anyway, 20-10, 19-29, that's the Cardinals, which that was a blowout, so you don't know how many of those were garbage time. You know, 16, 19, 13, but the closer ones to 20, or did get to 20, were the teams, 33 to the Ravens, 21 to the Rams, those are the teams that made the playoffs. So maybe these cracks were coming in the San Francisco defense all along. So you think it's going to be 30-something to 30-something?
No.
What do you think it's going
to
be?
30-something to 20-something.
Like low 30s to high 20s?
Something like that. I'm. It's
Wednesday. Who does that
favor? We're going to pick this Friday, right?
Can the Chiefs win a game that high scoring?
If that's the score, if that's the scoring that favors Kansas City.
You think so? Mm-hmm. Why?
Because they're scoring points. If that's the score that's happening, that means they're scoring points.
Yeah, see, I think
the offense is moving. I'm gonna
say exactly the opposite. Exactly the opposite, because that's the way the Niners have played. Mm-hmm. You know, you're talking about the third best scoring team against the 15th best scoring team. So in that my mind is the Niners are scoring, they're ahead, and the Chiefs are trying to catch up.
Right.
Because they can't really keep up.
And that's where I think if you're a Chiefs fan, that it gives you hope. Because if that is the case.
I think if you're the Chiefs, you want this to be 21-17.
I'm always going to go back to it. If they're scoring points.
And you better be ahead at halftime.
It puts the pressure on the 49ers. We got to keep scoring points because we can't stop these guys. And then if they just falter on one drive, oh, no, we just gave the ball back to Mahomes. Here comes his Super Bowl winning drive.
It's funny. Everything you said about Mahomes is exactly what Purdy's done in the playoffs.
Yeah, it is.
You know, it's kind of crazy. But, yeah, on the text, I think a big part of why it seems like the public is leaning Kansas City is simply Mahomes versus Purdy.
Yeah. I've been eating crow on Purdy this entire season, waiting for him to be the seventh round pick. You know, hasn't happened yet. But you're right. Still people are –
Nobody thinks Purdy has a chance to win this game. Really,
yeah, exactly.
That's what
they're
you're hearing.
At, okay, Mahomes versus Purdy. They're going to go with Mahomes.
Meanwhile,
I'm going with Mahomes because, like I said, I'm just not going to bet against the guy. I'm not going to do it.
Meanwhile, back at the ranch, I will go back to what I told you yesterday, that Brock Purdy threw for 97 more yards, four more touchdowns, and three less picks in 153 less attempts with 93 less completions.
Here's something to sleep on.
And, oh, by the way, his rating was 113. Mahomes's was 92.6.
Here's something to sleep on. And we don't have time to talk about it, but just imagine it. It'll make you think all day, I think. Take those two quarterbacks and swap teams.
One of them ain't there. One of them ain't there. When you put it like that, it's like, I mean, it tells you how good Mahomes.
Do you see what I'm saying about Purdy and his?
Yeah, but
he's a good quarterback. But
he's a damn good quarterback. And the only reason, yes, he's got weapons.
Yes.
Okay, but that doesn't mean he's not making the throws. Purdy has been better than Mahomes this season, stat wise.
Hey, Western Oklahoma schools, listen up. How would you like to win a $5,000 interactive smart display for your school? Thanks to Video Reality, an audio-video business in Oklahoma City, you could be awarded one. Here's how. From now through February 28th, anyone can text in one time per day through the entire promotion. The winner will be announced during our live coverage on the ParagonTV.com and Cool 94's coverage of the Saturday, March 2nd Class A and B Basketball Championships. Here's how to participate. The text line number is 580-225-9697. And in the text, simply type in the one word name of the school you choose to support. We are so proud to partner with Video Reality that through their gracious gift in this promotion, some lucky school will be awarded a $5,000 interactive smart display. Remember, send a text to 580-225-9697. Type in your school's name. It can only be one word. And send it. Limit is one vote per day per phone number. Good luck. Video Reality, your audio, video, and control experts.
The Skinny on Sports.
Welcome back. Skinny on Sports, 98.1 FM, the Sports Animal. Wrapping up a Wednesday, talking Super Bowl. We hit the halftime show. Real quick. Blind comparison.
Okay.
It's not really blind since we've been talking about him, but one of these guys in this game playing quarterback was fifth in yards, fourth in completion percentage, third in touchdowns, first in QBR, first in quarterback rating this season. The other was sixth in yards, ninth in completion percentage, eighth in touchdowns, eighth in QBR, 14th in rating. And it's not the ones you think it is. The first guy in the top five of every single statistical category for the season at playing the quarterback position in the NFL was Brock Purdy, the guy that was 6 to 10 or even outside the top 10 was Mahomes. But I understand the I'm not betting against him because you've seen it.
Mm-hmm.
You've seen it happen so many times. So many times.
Yes, yes.
But I don't think do you think this quarterback matchup is closer or further away than the first time these two teams played with Mahomes versus Jimmy G?
I think they're closer, don't you?
100%. And the argument could be made that if Jimmy G could have won that game, should have won that game.
Yeah, yeah.
Now, it's a younger Mahomes. I get it. His first time on the Super Bowl stage. He's now – I mean, you know how I know
– He's a vet.
You know how I know they've had a pretty good run in Kansas City?
How's that?
Mahomes, this is his sixth year as the starter of the Chiefs, and he commented that he's going to do his normal Super Bowl routine. Not just his normal routine, his normal Super Bowl week routine.
Wow.
With his fourth time there. So I thought that was pretty funny earlier this week. All right, let's look at.
Don't read that text.
Oh my gosh!
Don't read that text.
No, he's. Boom. I mean, my right arm is gold. My right arm is absolute gold. There's no doubt about it. I could play quarterback. I'd probably play quarterback for the Chiefs too. It's just that Pat won't let me. Whatever. Okay, Andy.
His wife won't let you.
Whatever, Andy. Why don't you go have another cheeseburger at Five Guys? That's what he said one of his favorite cheeseburgers was. That was came out of the media day. All right, halftime shows. What's been some of your favorites?
Oh, just off the top of my head, 1993 Michael Jackson, 06 Rolling Stones, 08 Tom Petty. I'd look at the list here. 10 The Who. I really enjoyed Bruno Mars and Red Hot Chili Peppers.
I did too. I got that one.
I like Justin Timberlake back in 2018, not the one where he pulled the thing down.
That was Gabe's favorite.
Yeah, I know. And the most recent one, the Eminem, Dr. Dre, Snoop Dogg.
Yeah, the West Coast rappers.
Yeah, so those are the ones that stood out to me. I found a list.
Dollar.
Man, there were some dud Super Bowl halftime shows. They had like these themes and stuff. It was ridiculous. Like they had the Blues Brothers. Like with John Belushi,
Dan Aykroyd.
Dan Aykroyd. And I'm like, really? He performed a Super Bowl.
Godfather of Soul was there with that one.
Was
James
it?
Brown, I think.
Well, but you could tell how old I am with those picks. I mean, everyone remembers the Michael Jackson one. That was one of the biggest ones ever. And I like the classic rock one when they went back to that after that whole scandal situation when the Rolling Stones, Tom Petty, The Who, that was cool.
Prince, Paul McCartney was in there. Bruce Springsteen was in there.
They just missed my list, but those were good.
Yeah, I mean, but you're right. Well, as soon as that happened, then it was like, all right, we got to get old dudes that sit there and play guitar.
Yeah, yeah,
and not
that play arenas on it.
We're not
going
to have the
basis.
Chance to see what we saw.
Yeah, we don't want to see that with
Janet
those guys.
Jackson.
Yeah,
yeah. Ooh, think about what you Ooh. Might. That, yeah. That's earth shattering.
How about you?
Yeah, I liked the rap. The West. I mean, it's just like it just brought people our age back to like their junior high days or what have you. One that I really really like, and it's probably here's the deal. I think I like everything about this game because of the situation, because of how good the game was, because of what it spawned, because of what it ruined. And then the halftime show to boot was right there at the same time.
Mm-hmm.
Was U2?
Yeah,
U2 did the Rams Patriots.
I should have put that.
2002 was when it happened.
Yeah, some bands and some artists are just made for big arenas like that.
And that
U2's one of them.
U2 being the halftime show of that game that spawned the GOAT, Tom Brady began his legacy. You know, Kurt Warner and that Rams team seemed unstoppable back then, and then that was it for them. You know, just kind of whisk right off the stage, and U2 being there, that's probably puts them a little bit, you know, higher. But I always liked U2's music as well, so that's part of that. Interesting. Who would you like to see in the? It doesn't necessarily have to be somebody that hasn't done it. Category mine. You said him. Timberlake. I would be okay if Timberlake did the show every time.
He's an entertainer.
I really would.
And you can almost pair him with anybody.
That's right, because you can get literally anybody to hang with Justin Timberlake.
Yeah. Yeah, I'd like that to see him again. There's some that have just gone on that I'd like to see again. Like Tom Petty, I thought was great. Love to see that one again somehow.
Jared, I don't think you're ever going to see that one again.
No, I know, but I'm saying if who
maybe
would,
his hologram.
Yeah, well, you never know nowadays. Do you want people who haven't played, or just people who have played?
I mean, have played. It doesn't necessarily. Now there is going to be okay. Who do you want to see that's never done it?
Well, I'll go from like the most obscure to the my number one.
Number one is a no doubt. We have the same one. Guaranteed.
And that would be?
The Foo Fighters.
Absolutely.
Yeah, I knew that that was going
to
be the same.
There has to be a story behind that why they've never done it. They've
because they're
asked,
weird.
They keep saying no.
Probably.
I mean,
that would, Dave is a weirdo.
I think he'd love to do it.
Yeah, you just, then he, you well, if he'd love to do it, then they would, could do it. There's no doubt they've been asked.
I don't
asked.
Know why. Yeah. Maybe the timing isn't right. I don't know. But that's obviously my number one. You know, it'd be kind of crazy and obscure, but would probably, if you paired him with the right people. Weird Al.
Yeah, see, now
people would probably stop and go, what is he going to parody? You know, all the everyone loves Weird Al. Everyone, how crazy would that be?
I would have never, ever, ever guessed that.
Wouldn't
one.
That be fun?
If you just said, okay,
fun?
Think of 100 acts that I've got here on my list, Weird Al would have not made my
I know.
Brain.
I just threw it on there last thinking that might work. Because he parodies all genres of music.
Oh, man, that
would
be
funny. And people would just have a great time with it.
I would have never got to Weird Al.
Yeah. Some others, I'm all over the map here. Fall Out Boy, Morgan Wallen. I don't agree with their political views nowadays, but Green Day, they spat out a lot of hits. Imagine Dragons feels like a giant stadium band.
I really can't believe they haven't even... it seems like they probably should have, but they didn't.
Yeah, Kenny Chesney, but put it with Pink. I think that brings everybody. They have a song together, but I know no one likes.
I'm out on Pink.
Yeah, but she has. I'm saying you satisfy the masses, and I've been to a couple Kenny Chesney concerts. He brings the energy. Garth Brooks.
Yeah, Garth is the guy that always brings the energy. I don't know. He's 62 now.
I think he can still.
Happy
bring
birthday,
it.
Garth.
Yeah, I think he can still bring it. A band that's back together, a little resurgence, Blink 182, and of course Foo Fighters. That was my list.
I had Foo number one by leaps and bounds. You know who's shocking that hasn't done it? Shocking.
Who's that?
T Swift.
Well, yeah,
I mean, listen, I don't want to see it,
it's
but
it's not on my list.
It's amazing
I don't want to see it.
She hasn't done that.
It is. I think she thinks she's above it.
Maybe so. Maybe she's the only artist in the world that's above doing the halftime super. Maybe that's what Dave thinks, too. Maybe that's why the Foo doesn't do it. I've also got Billy Joel. I would love to see Billy Joel.
Billy Joel would be good.
Chris Stapleton.
Billy Joel with... No, never mind. Go ahead.
Chris Stapleton.
Chris Stapleton would be good.
And, you know, we just got a text, change it up back to the country or rock. That's where I'm going, too. The Foo Fighters, Billy Joel, Stapleton, and also Eric Church. I would love to
Eric
see
Eric Church.
Because if it's Eric Church, you're probably getting a lot of those other guys too.
Oh, sure. Yeah.
And the thing about Stapleton, and I mean, he's worked with Timberlake, but he's a guy that can literally go with anybody.
I mean, just look at his national anthem performance. Everybody raved about that.
Yes. And, you know,
I saw Joe Walsh on a text line. Why not the Eagles?
Oh, that's a sore subject with me.
No Eagles?
I don't like the Eagles.
Oh, okay. All right, Lebowski.
I don't like the Eagles, and it's all my parents' fault.
Because they listened to the Eagles?
Because
over.
It's actually my fault because I bought them a CD when I couldn't drive my own vehicle. And for the remainder of my life in the minivan before I can get out of that thing, that's all we heard was Hell Freezes Over.
Oh, great album.
Yeah, the first 100,000 times you hear it.
Their latest live album is excellent.
I really liked the Eagles, too, until I made that vital mistake of buying that album. CD.
You know, Vince Gill jumped on with them.
Yes.
Not bad.
Vince, to try to recreate the Don Henley sound?
Not Don Henley. The late...
I wasn't trying to recreate... Was Don Henley not on the Eagles?
No, it's oh, I am ashamed. I cannot. He passed
Glenn Frey.
Away. Glenn Frey. He passed away.
Is Don Henley still with them?
Yes.
Oh,
yes.
He is?
Yes.
So they go back. Those high-pitched voice goes back and back,
well,
back and forth.
Vince Gill jumped in, and he does most of the Glenn Frey stuff.
Oh, I just assumed because
but
of the
and
pitch
also,
of his voice.
Also, Glenn Frey's son.
He was doing
joined the band.
Don Henley parts.
Yeah, you need to check out their latest live album. It's really good.
Yeah, no
really,
thanks.
Really good.
Is it the same songs?
Yeah, but again, there's the Vince Gill twist to it. He'll take the lead on some of them, and it actually sounds really good. And even his son singing, Glenn Frey's son, who sounds almost just like him. It's pretty good. George Strait, that's a good one.
Oh, yeah. Who doesn't want George to sit on a stool and play the guitar and sing? He does. I don't know that George's energy is high enough for the Super Bowl crowd. The entirety of it.
Yeah.
It'd be good for me. I'm with it. I'm totally with it.
I think the consensus here, you can't go wrong with classic rock.
Yeah, Foo.
A lot of people enjoy
Chili's. I love the Chili's.
In some form or fashion classic rock. And nowadays, 90s bands are classic rock, so you can kind of throw those in there.
Yeah, that's true.
There's okay. A wide. How about Creed?
you know what?
Did you see they announced a concert? They're going on a tour, and they're coming to the Paycom in Oklahoma City. That's why I was asking about those dates. My wife was kind of curious and going. They're there with Three Doors Down.
Man, I heard a song last night, and I'm not ashamed to say, on the way back, I can actually tell you right where I was on the road when I found a difference. I was just kind of flying through stations, and, you know, it was late at night, and so I settled on I just – I was on KECO, actually, and then it was right there at kind of the midnight.
Mm-hmm.
So it started doing a bunch of whoa, whoa, whoa.
Yeah.
This is how you remind me.
Oh, Nickelback.
You want to talk about rocking.
Nickelback.
It was awesome.
You'd love or hate them.
People loved them.
Love or hate, love them or hate them.
Ah, Brooks and Dunn.
Brooks and Dunn.
Brooks and Dunn, killer.
They're coming to the Windstar in May.
I like Brooks and Dunn. No, Nickelback, all the people that say they hate them now, loved them when it started. Yep. A lot like Creed. Everybody have a great Wednesday.
You've been listening to the Skinny on Sports podcast with Aaron Cowan. Be sure to hit that subscribe button to get alerts of when the latest podcast is available. Thanks for listening.
That ball is blistered to right. Wow.